Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 287 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe are here with you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And in the studio this week, our producer Jan Brookfield. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good stuff. You're normally listening in from afar, providing us with many a guest, but it is our Christmas episode, and you've popped in because I've got your Christmas present to give you.
Yes, I've got a Christmas present for you.
I've got food as well. Oh, there's food?
Right. Oh, lovely.
Okay, we'll get to that in a bit.
I was going to bring some Pringles and forgot.
See, that's not food.
Pringles?
They are edible, but they are not food.
Well, I'm hoping there's a jam cake somewhere. No, you
know. I think we may be disappointed there. We've got to wait until the 300th episode for that one, but there we are. Right, so what have we got coming up on the show, Zoe?
Well, it's all musical this week, musical and theatre. We'll be having a chat with an 80s icon who's touring round next year. We'll be speaking to Carol Decker from Tapow.
Looking forward to that chat a little bit later. And also I popped along to the place in Telford in Hocking Gates for their pantomime. It is Beauty and the Beast. And I had a little natter with Phil Butler and Ian Billings immediately after the show. And chaos ensued. And Phil is still very upset about the fact he's never met you.
Oh, really? I've seen him on the poster. I was there in Telford Tuesday and I went past one of his posters. I thought, oh, there he is.
So you now know what he looks like.
Yes.
He hasn't brought the ambulance with him, but that's another story. What else we got?
Well, musical-wise, we're going to be speaking to Brett Hookfield and the open mic final on the 24th of January.
And we'll also be finding out about a gig at the Robin 2 with Think Floyd. Lewis Hall, their bassist, is joining us on the phone to have a chat about that 10th of January gig a little later on.
And more music, if that's not enough. We'll be speaking to Natasha Hogan about her new single and reflecting on some of her older stuff from the 90s.
But first of all, earlier this week, I popped along to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, where I caught up with another member of the cast from their pantomime this year, Cinderella. I'm with Ben Stock now, who at the moment looks nothing like he will when you come to see him in panto, apart from he's wearing very panto socks.
Very dare you.
They're lovely. Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you are an ugly sister.
I am, but only by day and evenings. The rest of the time I'm not. Only when I'm in the building.
And talking of the building, we're in your dressing room at the moment, completely surrounded by more wigs than a wig shop, I think would probably be a good place to start.
We have 7 costumes in the panto, so that's 7 wigs, 7 costumes, 7 pairs of tights, 7 pairs, almost 7 pairs of shoes. One of the shoes makes a reappearance.
Does it match your handbag?
We only have one handbag, actually. Sure, yeah, right. It takes me about an hour to get into makeup, and then I don't take it all off between the matinee and the evening shows. So I'm in here longer than I am in, you know, where I'm staying. So I quite like to make it festive. So I've got all sorts of trimmings and things that I've collected over the years, including what is becoming a very famous inflatable Christmas tree.
I was advised there would be an inflatable Christmas tree, and there it is, supported
on a light switch. I've had it for about 15 years, so each year it gets less, and just doesn't feel like Christmas without my inflatable Christmas tree.
Makes all the difference.
Indeed.
So, I mean, from what you're saying, you're Amanda as long as you're Ben for a six-week period, right the way through until the 18th of January, and Christmas Day off, are you going to put the makeup on anyway, just so that you feel part of it?
What happens on Christmas Day is that all the stuff that's got clogged in your pores, as you get sort of sweaty by the fire, starts to seep out. So, you know, by the end of the day, you've got a full set of makeup. No, I shall not be sticking it on. My grandma is 99, and I'm spending Christmas Day with my mum and my grandma and my family, so I think it might frighten my grandma.
She may not recognise you at that age with the full face makeup on. And this is something that you've come to, in about the last 5 or so years you started becoming the lady of the piece?
Yeah, I used to sort of do the Silly Billy type roles or Dandini and stuff like that. And then I auditioned to do Ugly Sister for Kudos, who run the pantomime here at the Grand. They do 24 in total. And my first Ugly Sister was actually here at the Grand 6 years ago, last time they had Cinderella. And I've been asking to come back ever since. And here I am. So we worked out that if they do it in 2019-20, that season, that's the next time I'll be back.
And you want to be back for that
one?
Yes, I do. Because you will be in Cinderella somewhere, you think, next year.
I hope so. Yes, as long as I behave myself and they keep employing me, I'll do it. I think Cinderella is the best of all the pantos. It's my favourite, definitely. because it's got something for everybody. Some of them just sort of leaned more towards the boys or the girls, but Cinderella really has got something for everyone. The Buttons is loved by all the kids, but especially the boys. The girls just love Fairy Godmother and Cinderella. Mm. And in particularly this year in ours, and the one I did last time I was here with the Crankies, definitely with Julie and Clary, there's definitely something for the adults as well, which a lot of it goes over the kids' head.
Which is a good job, having been to see the show twice, then...
Twice,
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, and it was well worth
you
doing.
You can be my understudy.
I am just coming back in January for the third trip, so if you need
I'm
someone...
Peaky.
Yeah, I could do with a wig, but maybe not the beehive, to be fair. You come in here, and there's pictures all around the dressing room too, as well as the festivities. And there's a few famous faces on your board. How many of these have you worked with? I see Leslie Joseph there.
I did Panto in High Wycombe about 3 years ago with Leslie, and she always sends a hilarious photograph on her Christmas card. I've just worked with Hair Flick from LOLO, and I have a Hair Flick and Helga tea towel on my dressing room place, which was a present from him. And two members of the crew saw it and went, "We want one!" So I shouldn't be saying this, actually, because they're giving them to family for Christmas. So don't listen if you know anybody on the crew. Two members of the company are getting Hair Flick tea towels, and he sent me a Christmas card as well. So yeah, I have worked with some really lovely people doing Panto. I started here with the Crankies and Stefan Dennis, who most people know as Paul Robinson from Neighbours. Mm-hmm. Last year I was with Bradley Walsh in Dartford. 2 years ago I was with the very lovely and very, very much missed Linda Bellingham, which was just a joy. We had such a good time. Yeah, you know, it's great, and it's great to watch people like Leslie. I think Leslie is her 30th year doing Panto. Wow. So you just to watch them, you know, you learn so much from their timing and their experience.
And that is what Panto is about, isn't it? It's about going out, enjoying yourself, having a good laugh, the timing being right, the slapstick being perfect, the ridiculous outfits that the Ugly Sisters or the Dame wears. And it's something that's a tradition, but how did that come start with you? Did you come to Panto as a kid, or is that...
I did, but I mean, I hear, you know, you hear of... I've got friends who say, gosh, we went every single year, and we didn't go every year, but... I'd always sort of loved it, and I did, as I was growing up, I did a lot of old-time music hall. I used to go around old people's homes as a child doing old-time music hall. And in my career now, I still do old-time music hall, which is very much the tradition. It's having that connection with the audience where you can actually have a conversation with them, that it's not, you know, you're not just doing a play. So I guess it's always sort of been there in what I've done. And I do just love it, and I love the fact that it brings the kids into the theatre, most of them for the first time. The first thing they see in the theatre is a pantomime. And even the babes we have in the show, you know, for them and most of them, it's the first time they've done a big show. And it's just so important. It's what keeps it going. It financially keeps most theatres going through the year, but it also keeps new blood coming in. If they loved the pantomime, they'll come back next year, or they'll come and see something else that's, you know, the tiger that came to tea, or the whatever it is that comes to the theatre. They go, oh, can we go and see that? Because I love the panto so much. You just have to hope they don't come and see Julius Caesar and shout out, it's behind you! but yeah, no, it's a great introduction for children. And we do so little now in our... When I was growing up, we used to sit down and watch those sitcoms and things as a family that were very much the sort of slapstick panto type things. Things like Are You Being Served and Lower Low and my favourite, Heidi High. And we used to sit and watch that as a family, and I don't think that happens now.
No, everyone's, you know, tweeting at each other across
people
the room,
tweeting
aren't they?
Each other. There are seven televisions in the house, and everyone's sat in different rooms. And I think there's less and less family viewing, apart from things like X Factor and Strictly or whatever. But kids don't get involved in the story. You don't do that as a family, and I think that's the other thing that Panto does, and all the generations can come. A friend of mine came a couple of years ago, and with his son, who was 10, he was 40, his mum was 70 and his grandma was 90, and they all sat there laughing at the same thing, and they're all getting it on a different level.
Yeah,
and that is rare. It doesn't there's not a lot of that in our society anymore, and so it's great that it happens.
And
very deep, haven't I?
You have a little bit, but I was gonna say, but good always triumphs over evil as well, from that sort of vein. And you get to be the bad guy this time, or bad girl this time around.
Yes, I love being the bad person. I'm not like that in my real life. I'm quite nice, really. But there's something about being the baddie, which is I love. My favourite scene is always, spoiler alert, when we get Cinderella to tear up the ticket, because some of the kids just literally can't believe that you're being that horrible to somebody. And they go, no, and it's a desperate, desperate plea if we do it right. And the other thing, we were talking about it yesterday, actually, a lot of kids know fairy tales through Disney films, and that scene doesn't exist in the Disney film. The Ugly Sisters, I think they lock her in the cellar or something, or the wicked stepmother locks her in the cellar. So they're not expecting the ticket tearing scene to come. And they just can't, they literally can't believe it. It's brilliant. We haven't had any criers yet.
No, I did cry the first time. I was okay by the second. But it is part of the magic of Panto that you actually feel for the characters on stage, more so than you do anything else. You're cheering, you're booing, you're hissing. And does that continue in the social media world afterwards? I mean, you're out there on Twitter and you're getting grief for being that evil sister?
No, because as I leave the stage door, you know, you do get people sort of waiting for autographs, but nobody ever recognises me or my sister. So we escape that quite well, I think. People are very nice.
Well, so just so they can't be, if they want to be, I think that makes sense. What is your Twitter feed and how do people find you?
I'm warning you now, you are more than welcome to tweet me. Please do. I'm terrible at Twitter, but I'm trying this pantomime. It's at benstockbiz, B-I-Z, B-E-N-S-T-O-C-K-B-I-Z. But I do have a closed account for various reasons, but please request me and I will absolutely accept anybody.
Okay, and you can follow your very own ugly sister online. That'd be quite good fun. Well, I should leave you to not only the pictures, the tinsel, the scented candles, and the vast amount of mineral water you have in here to get yourself made up and ready for today's show.
Put the slap on, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or anything. I'm very lucky. MAC Makeup send me a load of stuff, and they sponsor my makeup, so I'm very lucky. I'm my skin is well looked after.
And what is your colour lipstick then? Do you have a favourite?
It is. I can look at it now. It's Lady Danger.
That says you all over.
It
I think.
Does. I tried another one which was Russian Red, but I didn't like that. It's Lady Danger.
Ben, great speaking to you. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So Cinderella is on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre until the 18th of January. To book your tickets, pop along to grandtheatre.co.uk or give the box office a call on 01902 429212. That's Wolverhampton 429212. A few weeks ago, we had a chat with Jean Martin, and she's been taking part in all the tech Santa business over recent weeks. So what I thought we'd do at this point is play one of her Christmas songs. This one is Sleigh Ride. Jean Martin playing Sleigh Ride. To Pow play on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February 2015 at the Robin 2 in Bilston. To tell us more about it, the one and only Carol Decker joins us on the phone now. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah. Great to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you too. Very honoured to have you with us. And thanks. A fantastic tour ahead of you with a brand new album, and it's called Pleasure and Pain.
It is, yeah, but there's no whips or spiky heels involved, I'm afraid.
That's spoiled slightly yes. for me.
I'm not Madonna.
is the title in relation to perhaps the album being both a pleasure and pain to write? Is that where it's come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, and the pleasure and pains of life, really. Yeah. You know, all the ups and downs the good times and the bad times that we all go through. So that was kind of what brought the title about, really.
Well, we're going to take a little listen to Nowhere in a short while, which will give us a flavour for the album itself. But first of all, we've got to reminisce a little bit with you first, because you were a major part of my early days working in radio, listening to Heart and Soul and Shining Your Hand on a Sunday morning when I was co-presenting a kids show that went out across your native Shropshire. It must be great to have been in the industry for, what, over 25 years now and still look like you did in the 80s?
Darling, Botox and white wine. you just inject the white wine straight into your face.
It's the way it does it.
Well, it's kind of you to say so. I tend to think my face seems to be sliding down my skull a bit, but we do the best we can, you know, and I can't believe we went on our 25th anniversary tour last year. We were also at the Robin 2 on that, on the hashtag Power 25 live tour in 2013. But yeah, I can't believe I've been in the business as long as I have. And of course, pre to Power as well, I was slogging around the Midlands in my first band, The Lasers, and writing all those songs that ended up on all the subsequent albums. So I've probably been singing for over 30 years now, and I'm older than God's dog. I don't know how it's going, honestly.
But still packing houses, and they love to see you and love to listen to the music.
Yes, they do, and we love to see them as well, because, you know, you have your ups and downs in life and your career. I certainly have, and when we went out on, and I, you know, over the last decade, I've been doing all the 80s multi-bill shows, and they're fantastic, they're great, they're in front of massive crowds, and I'm usually with all my compadres in the 80s, and they're shock and awe, and it's wonderful to do. But I hadn't been out with my own band in a long time, so I was very nervous last year. I should be nervous again next year when it's just me. But I have very loyal fans, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Do you find that the fans that you have now are, some of them might have grown up with you from the 80s, and did they still enjoy listening to the old tracks?
Yeah.
So you've spotted me at the back of the gigs. Right, okay.
You say when I was at school, all the boys were admiring you in that sort of era.
Well, I've mentioned Carol's name around the office, and there's been absolutely masses of positive reaction from the lads, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's really, really sweet. There's certain pressure to try and look like I did when I was a poster on their wall, which is always hard. I hope I don't disappoint. Try and keep fit, try and keep it all from going south as much as I possibly can, you know, and hopefully the most important thing, keep the voice going, which, you know, I think is really important, that when people come to see me sing all those big hits, that they hear them the way they remember them. And hopefully I don't look too shabby as well. So it's kind of you to say so.
Well, it's going to be a Valentine's Day treat for everybody, which means you've got to do the hit Valentine.
Yeah.
And but all the other classics in there too?
Yeah, the set is going to comprise of, obviously, the big hits, and that will include Valentine, and the 14th at the Robin 2 will be a brilliant day to sing that song. But what we usually do is we look at some album tracks we haven't done for a while, because, you know, to Power, although we did have a handful of singles, we were a big album band, you know, and so there's lots of album tracks that people love. And then maybe dust the cobwebs off a few B-sides we haven't played for a long time. So it'll be a mix of that, but of course you'll have all your big hits there. And then a smattering of some new songs from Pleasure and Pain that I hope everyone's going to enjoy and get behind.
Well, I've had a sneaky listen to Nowhere already, and it really is reminiscent of the whole To Power sound. And the album Bridge of Spies is one that I actually have on vinyl. I did dig it out the other day, then couldn't find a record player to play it on. So I did.
I
reminded myself how it sounded by some of the tracks I bought on iTunes. And it's, you know, it's good that the back catalogue's out there, but you're producing new stuff, and it's not a million miles away that, you know, from what you've done in the past. So your audience are still going to absolutely love the brand new album.
Well, that's kind of you say so, and I hope so. We decided to play to our strengths. You know, in the intervening years when I haven't had hits, I've tried different things, going, oh God, what's going to get me back? You know, and in the end, you can only do what comes from your heart. And Ronnie and I love, you know, melodic power rock, pop rock, whatever you want to call it, with fantastic melodies, big choruses, blistering lead breaks. You know, that's who we are. But for example, our guitarist, he's only 24, so he brings a whole sort of modern angle to the way he plays. We've got a keyboard player cast, and he's from Norway, and I love Scandinavian pop sensibilities, so he's brought a lot of that to the album. And also, he's a big fan of the 80s keyboard sound, so we tried to find some of those old sounds, which are also being rocked by a lot of young artists now, like LaRue, for example, going back to those early 80s sort of keyboard sounds. So we're playing to our strengths, but it sounds contemporary as well.
As you say, there is a lot of new music now, which does reflect back to 80s and 90s. And there's a lot of old remixes. I mean, I've got two sons and both of them have come to me saying, oh, have you heard this recent track? And I'm thinking, well, that was what I used to listen to when I was at school.
Yeah, so I getting, know. You can really hear it. And when I do the big 80s festivals, there's more of a mixed audience there of obviously people who've grown up with our music. But there was like 25-year-olds who have discovered us through the young artists that are copying our sounds and paying homage to us. So that's made them look us up and come and see us. You know?
It's certainly going to be worth doing. The important data around the West Midlands, the Black Country, it's the exclusive show, basically. And it is on Saturday, the 14th of February, 2015. Tickets are priced at £17.50 in advance or £19.50 on the door, assuming there's any left. If you want to get those, you can pop along to the robin.co.uk onto the website or give them a call on 01902 401211. That's box office 401211 in Wolverhampton. And it's a 20 to 28 Mount Pleasant if you want to go and see him actually in the ticket office itself. So we're going to take a listen to Nowhere now. And
fantastic.
This is going to be, I think, a bit of a treat. But is this indicative of the whole album then? You know, the sound's there. Is this, and is this going to be a single that we expect to see going up the charts in the near future?
This is the lead single. This will be out for download on iTunes and Amazon on the 18th of January. So, and then the album will do digital and physical CDs that we'll also sell at the show. So, you know, for people who like a CD in their hand, it will be available on both. But Nowhere is the lead-off single. It'll be premiering on Radio 2 with Terry Wogan. And so we're going to, you know, put a digi-download single available from that date as well so people can get their hands on it. And I hope they like it. It's going to be a real... It's kind of scary, but a real
blast
to have something new out there again, you know.
Well, looking forward to the whole thing and hoping to get along to the gig as well. Carol Decker, lovely speaking to you. Thank you for joining us and we will catch up with you soon, I hope.
Yes, my
pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye. Ciao for now.
Bye. Bye.
So pretty in daylight, so fragile in dark night. Who's gonna love you now? Who'll make it all right? You keep pushing up that hill, keep on running to stand still. Who will you talk to now that no one is listening? Maybe you'll have to sell your soul. Keep on running on an empty heart. Well, but you ain't gonna get so far. And beautiful as you can be, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Taken from their brand new album, Pleasure and Pain.
Beauty and the Beast has arrived at the place in Telford. Ian Billings and Phil Butler with me. Hello.
Yes.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Ian Billings and Phil Butler are here. Yeah, are we? It's amazing that you've managed to get Ian Billings and Phil Butler on your lovely podcast.
Just, at the same time.
Yeah.
We're big fans of the Milk Bar, aren't we?
I'm a big fan of yours.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, you really?
I love you.
I love you too.
You should have done this interview together.
You know, it's been easy just to edit you together afterwards. Yeah, well, there we are. Beauty and the Beast, interesting choice of panto. It's one that I don't think was on the top 10 this year, which is good because it's something different and
it
tells a story and everything.
Yes, it is different.
It tells a romantic story, which is a bit different. Usually it's big and comedy, but there's a lot of comedy in this. But the main story underneath it is a romantic narrative, and the kids love it.
Yes.
That's killed the conversation.
Is that how you found it? You just seen it.
I've just seen it.
So
you tell us.
I mean, we haven't seen it.
You tell us how good it was.
It's very good, actually. Really enjoyed it. Some good comedy moments. And that Professor Crackpot bloke, he seems to be quite popular.
Yes.
Very popular.
By the fantastic Ian Billings.
He's very good, isn't he?
Wonderful. Yeah.
And with his sidekick, the wonderful Hugo Lagaffe, played by the wonderful Phil Butler.
He went down well as well.
Whatever happened to him?
Ended his career. When he ends up in Panto. No, it's a really enjoyable show. And absolutely packed houses. I'm sure that's been the case throughout the run so far.
Yeah, so far.
We're on show, what, 10 now, is it?
Something like that, We've got about another 37 to go.
Yeah. Not that you're counting, not that you're updating this on Facebook every single blooming day.
I get covered in milk and flour and eggs and custard pies, and so I am counting down the shows.
Just like a normal day for you.
It is. I get it twice a day.
Counting your eggs, aren't you?
I am.
Literally. And we've done 10 shows now, and it's been packed, all but one. We've been absolutely packed to the gills.
That was one.
And it's been really good. The audiences have been brilliant because they're real ripping, roaring, enjoyable audiences here. They like the comedy, and they love Phil Butler.
And they love Ian Billings.
Yeah, he's very good.
We're back. We were here last year. You've been here for how many years?
This is my seventh year. When I first started, the first show I did here was Beauty and the Beast. And now, 7 years later, I'm doing Beauty and the Beast again. Yeah. But this time I'm with Phil Butler, who's very good.
It makes all the difference, doesn't it? And the rest of the cast, because there's some...
Yes,
they're not important.
No. They're in it too.
Nikki French.
Nikki French, of course, from the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
And Total Eclipse of the Heart, of course, was her cover hit, which has been... it features in the show as well. She's a great find. She is the Wicked Witch. The evil witch guillotine, who casts very evil spells over the beast, of course, and sets the whole story a rolling. Next to her, in fact, there he is in the very poster, Matt Evers from Dancing on Ice, who is a stunning guy, handsome fella, great singer, great performer. And
he danced with Pamela Anderson.
Oh right,
really? Okay.
Yes, Pamela Anderson, and that Georgie. That girl, Georgie, is it Geordie?
You keep trying, mate. Go on.
Okay, whatever.
You're doing really well.
I actually stole his phone the other day and tried to call Pamela Anderson.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you get through it?
I did. Well, I put my finger on his, because he's got the fingerprint thing, because he's got a new...
Oh, right, yeah.
But I pressed it and kept my finger on it, and then I said it in his accent. I went, call Pamela Anderson, and it went through to her.
Oh, my God.
And he snatched it off me.
And if there are any police listening, that never, ever happened.
That didn't happen.
Talk us to the rest of the gang, because we got you have your beast. Who's your beast?
Gary Tushaw, who is a West End RADA-trained actor.
And you put a mask on him and make him prance around with long hair.
Exactly. That's what we do with him. And he was in a wonderful show called Les Miserables, which you may have heard of, one of the biggest shows on the planet, and he's in. Well, of course, we've got Trixie, the wonderful Trixie Waggert.
Trixie Waggert. That's
all we say.
Whenever she walks in the room.
Yeah, every
Trixie.
Time.
Trixie.
I bet that never grows old, does it?
No, not for us.
No.
Not for us. And whenever Gary walks in the room, we go, Gary, where are you?
They love it. They really love it.
It's very childish.
And of course, the wonderful Danny Mills, who's an accomplished dame, who's done panto all around the country, and now he's joining us in Telford. It's a really good balanced bill. I'm yeah. very happy.
All lovely people so as well. It's a lovely,
lovely
little family.
Lovely people. Phil Butler's the best.
Yeah, well, you are Phil. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. But you got the supporting cast as well, with you know all your singers, dancers and,
yeah. yeah, dancers.
How many dancers we got? We've got six seniors.
And there's 10 youngsters, and they alternate. So there's two teams each.
Two teams, yeah.
They alternate because of licensing laws, and they are excellent. There's an opening sequence to the beginning of Act Two, which is probably one of the biggest, best openings to Act Two that we've ever done here. Mm-hmm. That thrills the audience. It's a tingle factor, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. And it features Ian Billings.
I'm in as well.
Well, yeah.
But I'm not the tingle factor. I'm the comedy relief.
So
I'm sure you've had a bit of a tingle factor in your life.
I have.
Surely. At some point.
Rarely on stage.
Sure, I was just going to plug the box office details there. It's probably
what are you plugging?
Box office
details. Oh, yes, indeed. Right, do that, okay. Yes.
Let's just read this list. We have a leaflet that's on Philip's leg here. I'll just can you hear that, folks?
It's a real live leaflet. Are you going to take your glasses off to read it as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I do. I have to. Nice. Otherwise, I can't see what I'm... So, anyway, listen, people, never mind, ignore them. This is the box office number 30.
Ignore them.
Beauty and the Beast at Salford Oaken Gate. It's 01952 382 382. That number again. 01952 382 382. It's my DJ voice.
That's amazing.
Very good.
So I'm a podcaster, and so is Jason, and you're not a podcaster.
I'm not a
and yet
podcaster.
You've kind of taken over this one.
Website address. In the website address. Write this down. The number is www.
You don't need to do W's anymore. You don't need to do W's. Are you doing a website?
Hey?
You don't. Hello?
Doing a website.
What?
Who?
Hey? Hey? Are you doing a website? Because you don't need to do the W's anymore.
He can if he wants to.
The W's are written down.
Yeah, I know.
See,
they're written down.
I'm used to reading what's written down in front of me, unlike people who make up the script as they go along.
Here we go again.
Theplacetelford, all one word, lowercase, .com. Theplacetelford.com, all lowercase. Thanks for listening.
There you go. That's his podcast voice.
And you're stuck with him until the 5th of January.
I know. He's all right, really. He's okay. He's not too
really
bad. He directed
good.
It as well. He's a very good director.
Thanks
very much. He takes notice of what I say. Which makes him a good director.
What did you say?
Well, when I've got a suggestion or anything like that, you always listen. You're always very, very good like that. You're very good like that.
I do something completely different. But the good thing this year is that we've got a longer run than we've ever had before. Incrementally, the shows have got more and more popular over the years. And this year, we're running till the 5th of January. We used to finish before even January started.
That's right.
But now it's getting longer and longer, bigger audiences. We're selling out. So if you want to buy a ticket, get in there quick.
They don't pay you anymore, do they, Phil?
No, they don't, actually. I've got a beef with him, actually. It's a good little run, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's taking us right the way through until...
5th of January.
5th of January.
Two shows a day, 1 o'clock and 6:30 most days. And we've got four more school shows to do, and then the morning shows are out of the way, which is great. And then we just get a whole run of 1 and 6s, 1 and 5:30s for the rest of the run, which is brilliant.
So tell me, Jason, what was your favourite bit?
Yeah.
Out of all of it. You sat through it just now.
I think definitely Hugo Le Gaffe was fantastic.
Yes, of course. He said me before, I know,
only because of what he's about to say now.
but then it was all brought to life by the magic of Professor Crackpot.
There you go.
Anything in particular, though?
When you got covered in
eggs,
milk.
Did you actually come into the thing?
Did you like the bit where it all stopped and you had ice cream?
Yeah, the ice cream was great in the middle of that. No, it was a really good show. It was fantastic. How could you single out one performance, apart from Fluffy the dog, better than any of the
and
others?
By the way, where's Zoe?
She's not let out.
How many times have I been on this show and I've never met the lovely Zoe?
Oh, is there a pattern starting to emerge?
She's avoiding
it. She avoids me, doesn't she?
Yeah, actually.
She's seen me on Tinder or something.
We're just fulfilling the paperwork request from the government on that one. It is not allowed.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you again this year. That's what we've done now. Yeah.
Are we finished?
Yeah.
Were we funny enough?
Are you happy with that?
It's good for
me. Take it from the top?
Yeah. Well, Ian, recap the box office number just in case people still want tickets. We may have put them off.
They put their pencil by now. So the box office number is 01952 382 382.
Let me do the website.
Go on, you do the website.
The website is theplacetelford.com. That's theplacetelford.com.
You're very good.
And you could actually hear him flicking his ears at that point as well. Guys, thank you for that brilliant show and have a fantastic Christmas too.
Thank you.
And you, cheers.
Happy
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
We love you.
The point of no return. I'll move on, there's no time to burn. No, I gotta face my fear and learn to be aware of everything while I feel the rush. of adrenaline. I gotta run, gotta run, whatever may come. I gotta run, gotta run, I gotta run, whatever may come. Surrounded by walls and by gaps, but I will not let myself be trapped. No, 'cause I've got the skills to make my way, and I can feel the energy streaming into my deep-seated need. I gotta run, gotta run, I gotta run, whatever may come. Gotta run, run, gotta run, whatever may. I gotta run, gotta run, I gotta run, whatever may come. Run.
Natasha joins us now on the phone from Austria. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, what have you been up to of late? Because you had some great Europop hits in the 90s, and obviously we've got Run being released as a single now, but what's happened in between?
Oh, in between, yeah, that's a good question. Actually, in between, I was working more in the background. I had a studio, a recording studio, and I was more writing for other artists together with my partner. I just needed, you know, a little bit time away from everything. It was a really cool time, the Eurodance time. But it was time for a change, also due to some personal changes in my life. And after a certain time now, and after having changed as a person again, because we are all evolving, hopefully, that would be the goal, right?
Yep.
I just thought, you know, I had the feeling that I wanted to come back as an artist, back on stage, back with everything, musically, as an artist, express myself again. And I thought, you know, I didn't have a chance before to release ballads. So that was always a passion that I had inside. So I thought, why not surprise everybody with a ballad, with an orchestral ballad, and here I am with Run.
Well, a fantastic song, and really a full musical sound. And who are you working with to bring that music to life?
Yeah, thank you. Well, actually, I was working together with a fantastic orchestrator in Nashville, Carl Marsh, who really did a wonderful job on that, I think. So that was a really great experience to that.
When you're producing music these days, I think you'd seem like you're doing it much more for you. This is about how you want to sound, isn't it now?
Yeah, right. I mean, right now, yeah, everything is about my album right now. How is this going to sound? I mean, I have a vision in my mind. Yes, absolutely. And there are also a lot of songs already written. And there are a lot of things already. So now what I need to do is finish the whole thing in 2015 and release the album. And before that, I think that I'm going to release two more songs. Now, at Christmas, on the 25th, I'm going to release Remember Me on YouTube. I hope everybody likes that. It's the most personal song I've ever written, I think. And then in February, well, the plan right now is that in February I'm going to release another one. And we'll see how it goes on from there.
How different is it for you writing for other people than it is for writing for yourself?
I think it's easier to write for other people because with oneself, I guess I am sometimes a little bit picky with myself. Mm-hmm. So if I sit down and write for myself, I tend to lead to perfectionism, kind of, you know. But if I write for other people, then I can be more objective. And I see the whole picture better, you know what I mean? And I don't lose myself with all these details. I have the same passion for that, but I'm not so obsessed with all these details. I mean, I'm getting better now with that too, with my own stuff. But it's different, you know? It's really, I think it's easier also to co-write. For example, if I co-write with other songwriters and it's for somebody else, then I can be more loosened up with that. You know, if somebody else says, oh, no, let's try this, then I'm like, okay, why not? But if it's for myself, and the same songwriter would say, oh, why don't we try this? And I have a certain vision in mind because I wanted to express that, you know, exactly the way I have it in my mind, then that's more difficult. I don't know if this all makes sense to you, but
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously you have the Christmas present you're giving to everybody of that new song on the 25th. But how is it working out with tours? Are you on tour in 2015? Will you be coming to the UK? Or maybe visiting Spain, who I know have been particular fans of your work over the years?
Well, the thing is, I really want to get on tour again. I really want, but I have to put together a band.
Yep. So
the plan is... Yeah, I'm now, you know, working on my album. As soon as that is finished, I'm putting a band together, and then I want to play live. And I guess it depends. It's really a little bit early to say now where is the first place I'm going to perform. I cannot tell now. I guess that really is going something. It is going to evolve too. You know, we'll see within the process. Maybe the UK or maybe Spain, but I think it's going to be the UK.
Okay.
Well, I have the feeling, yeah.
It'd be good if we could see you over here. I think we would enjoy your music very much performed live.
Oh, thank you. I would love to get on stage again, and I will love to get on stage because I know I will do it soon. And I'm very much looking forward to that because it's really cool to be in the recording studio and to create music, but it's something so special to get on stage and to see how these emotions come across, you know?
Yeah.
And the interplay between the audience and yourself, I cannot explain that. It's something so overwhelming sometimes, yeah.
So, Natasha, your music is available online. Where do people go for that?
Right now, I release as a gift to people. I tend to give gifts away, right? It looks like it. The same with Remember Me, because it's Christmas and I saw it now. I'll just put it on YouTube, but later on it will be available and on my website on natashahang.com. People will see where they can buy it. People cannot buy it right now.
So they can see the YouTube video, but buy the tracks later on. So keep checking back at natashahagen.com to find out more.
It was nice to speak to you. Thank you so much.
That's great speaking to you. Thank you, Natasha. And we look forward to that track released on Christmas Day.
Oh, thank you. I wish you a lovely Christmas too, and all the best and all the luck. And yeah, hopefully speak soon.
It'd be great to talk to you once the album's out. Natasha, thanks for joining
Thank
us
you.
And you have a great Christmas. Ta-ra for now.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
In a short while's time, we'll be having a chat with Lewis Hall from Think Floyd.
Before that, though, let's hear a tune from Think Floyd, Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Pink Floyd appear at the Robin 2 on the 10th of January. To tell us more about it, the tribute band's bass player is on the line, Lewis Hall. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. And I think, Zoe, are you okay?
Yes, I'm very well.
That's good. Right, we've checked around. Everybody's happy. Right. So, let's talk music then. And the band Pink Floyd have been tributing, if that's the correct way of putting it, for the last, 21 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
Although you've only recently joined 13 years ago.
Yeah, very recently, yes.
Yeah. So, tell us a bit about how this one all started up.
Well, basically, the original lineup of Pink Floyd were just a kind of an all-round covers band playing around London about 20-odd years ago. And the story goes that a regular place they used to play, somebody once requested the track Comfortably Numb. And they said, well, we don't know it, but we'll learn it for next week. So they did, and it went down so well, and people were asking for more and more Floyd tracks. So they decided to put on a whole evening, and more of a joke than anything, they called it Think Floyd. And it was being so popular, sort of hundreds of people were trying to fit in this pub every Saturday night, and a theatrical agent picked it up and put it into theatres. And around that time, there weren't really any other tribute bands around. I think there was Bjorn Again and Bootleg Beatles, but so Think Floyd were one of the original ones in this country.
So it wasn't necessarily set up as a tribute band to start
Absolutely
with?
Absolutely not, no. And it's kind of evolved since then. I mean, the original lineup have since all retired. I mean, I joined 13 years ago, and as new members come in, it always improves the show. We're kind of like an ever-evolving wheel, really, of new people coming in, bringing sort of fresh talent and fresh enthusiasm. So, you know, each year it's a brand new show, and we're still doing it and loving it.
And do you get dressed up like the band members as well? Is all that included?
Definitely not. No. I don't think I would have done it this long if we did. I mean, that fortunately with Floyd, you don't need to. I think if you go and see a Rolling Stones tribute band, you want to see a Mick Jagger, and if you go and see a Sabbath band, you want to see Ozzy Osbourne. But fortunately for Floyd, it was all about the music and the light show, really. So you know, we sort of concentrate on that and get the sound to be as close to the original records as possible.
And you do change around the tour, so if someone's seen you recently, not only will they probably want to come back and enjoy the whole same experience, but it's going to be slightly different. It's a brand new show, and it's actually got classic Pink Floyd from Syd Barrett through The Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here.
That's right, and it's actually next year is the 40th anniversary of Wish You Were Here, so we're going to be performing the whole album from start to finish, amongst other stuff. And this gig at the Robin is our first show of the year, so it should be good. So some of the tracks will be playing for the first time ever.
So are you allowing yourself 10 days to get over the hangover? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, I need a few weeks to get over the flu, which I'm suffering with at the moment.
Oh dear!
It always happens as soon as we stop work. It kind of hits you, but then hopefully we'll be recovered in time for Christmas. And then it's sort of full rehearsals, and really looking forward to coming back to Bilston.
So coming up to Christmas, I suppose it's an ideal Christmas present as well, isn't it, to get somebody a couple of tickets to go and see that in the early year as well?
Definitely, yes, yeah. So if any of your listeners are looking for a last-minute present, then I'm sure the Robin box office will be able to help you out.
Yes, and you can find that Robin box office, pop it along to therobin.co.uk, or you give them a call on 01902 401211, or nip along to Mount Pleasant in Bilston and go and see them in person. Hand over, get those tickets, stick them in a card, and make somebody very happy with the concept of popping along to see Pink Floyd and recreating the magic. I mean, it's not going to happen in the same way ever again. So, you know, it's 40 years on from the original music. You guys are able to create something which they're not going to be able to see in anything like its original form ever again.
Definitely not, no. I mean, sadly, two of the members of Floyd are passed on now, so it's very unlikely they'll ever tour again. So, so it's down to bands like us to keep the music alive.
Mm. So if they never, perhaps there might be fans perhaps that never got to see them first time round, or they're coming across the music for the first time, you know, it's going to be ideal for everybody, really.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, people who come to our gigs, you get people, sort of teenagers who are just discovering the music, right the way through to people in their 70s and 80s who saw the band back in the 60s. So, it really is something for everyone.
Lewis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you ever so much.
We look forward to the gig itself. And if you do want to get down there, it's £15 if you book your ticket in advance, or you can actually pound the door, it's £17. Get yourself along to the Robin 2, have a fantastic night of some really raucous live music. Let's take another tune from Jean Martin. This is her version of Winter Wonderland. To the phones we go now, where we find Brett Hilkfield. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jason.
Long time no speak.
Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it?
And you've been a very, very busy boy and girl with the assistance of Marie in a few music competitions in recent weeks and months.
Yes, sir. Back in August, I think it was, we entered the Open Mic UK competition. We went to the auditions and we thought, well, you know, we haven't done a music competition before. Why not? You know, be something different. So we popped along and we just played our thing and we got through.
So I did notice, I think it was on Facebook quite a lot, wasn't it? And I noticed how well you'd done, so...
Yeah, congratulations for making the final. And one of the persons who's cheered you on to get you along the way is Jan Brookfield, our producer, who's here as well.
Hello, Brett.
Hello, Jan. Mm-hmm.
And you've had a good time watching all this, haven't you?
I have, yes, yeah. Went to the NEC.
Waving your Black Country flag.
Yeah, I did. How did you know about that?
It was on Facebook again as well. It's a great oracle for
everything,
all information.
Everything on Facebook. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
The flag was vital because we couldn't see where all our friends were in the audience, obviously, being a big place. And as soon as we saw Jan's Black Country flag go up, we knew where everybody was.
Was it a bit daunting, you know, have you played somewhere that big before?
I don't think I've ever played anywhere quite that big before. It was a bit of a sort of shock from playing all the sort of smaller venues we play. I mean, obviously, when you play outdoor festivals, it's a lot bigger. But indoors, you don't normally play to anything like that sort of a crowd. Mm. And, of course, it's not just a performance. You're competing with everybody else there. So I was amazed, you know, when somebody gave me the figures that I think there were 10,000 performers entered it. And Marie and I are now in the last 30.
Gosh, that's
very, not
very
bad
well
going
done,
at all.
Yes.
And that final takes place at the NEC once more, and that's the 24th of January. And how does the voting work for the winner?
Well, what's going to happen is we've got a panel for the grand finals. They're bringing in the three largest record companies in the world. We've got Sony, Universal and Warner, and some Ivor Novello award-winning songwriters and some celebrity judges who are all going to be on the panel. And they're going to pick their favourite three acts of the, I think there's approximately 30 people playing, of those 30 people, they will pick the favourite three. And then of that final three, the audience will pick the overall winner.
Hopefully going to come your way. I know you're going to be, you know, level-headed as you go into this and give your absolute best performance, but it's our Brett. We want you to win.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Well, I was surprised that we were doing so well. What really astounded me, because we played the NEC twice now, we've gone through two lots of heats, and about halfway through the show, after we'd played, Marie and I, the head judge, Chris Grayston, head of Future Music, stood up and he said, "I'd just like to say at this point that Brett Hilkfield is a brilliant songwriter." I'm thinking, oh, this is sounding very good. And then he said, "Now I want to say to the other performers that Brett and Marie's performance is the standard that all the others must aspire to." So I thought, good gracious. You must have made an impression there.
Yeah, well, that's like winning in itself, isn't it, to have somebody say something like that?
Oh, it's been wonderful. And just, you know, Zoe, from just being in the competition, I mean, our profile has raised so much. You know, we were playing in Gloucester last year. Well, I say we, poor Marie has got flu and I'm just getting over it. So I had to do the gig in Gloucester. But we were booked to play at the Gloucester Keys last Saturday, you know, which is about 50, 60 miles away. So rather than doing just local gigs now, things are really opening up for us.
Yeah, the word is getting around. They know all about you now. And we're going to get ourselves into a bit of a seasonal mood with a track that you wrote a couple of years ago and is your Christmas carol. Now, this hasn't featured in any of the competition rounds so far, has it?
No, because we haven't sort of played anything sort of a Christmassy theme. But I always liked this song. It was a little thing. I think I was walking around, could have been Maryhill or somewhere like that, and all the poor shoppers were rushing around and they all looked unhappy. And I thought, well, you know, could be a bit more festive and more fun. And what's Christmas really about? It's about being with the people you care about, isn't it? It's about family. It's not the people who really think the most of you don't care that much what you get them. They just rather have your company. So I sort of mixed a whole bunch of traditional carols together and came up with this song. And every year since, it seems to have, it's got to be 3 or 4 years since I popped that one on iTunes or something. But every year it sort of comes back. There's always people wanting to sort of use the song for something or other, you know. It got used in China once by students.
No, that's different.
It is. It just takes on a life of its own. It's sort of very independent, that song. I just sort of look over the wall and see what it's doing from time to time.
Well, we'll take a listen to it now, as I say, to get us in the festive spirit. Meanwhile, though, tell us how people can get tickets for the UK Open Mic Competition Grand Final at the NEC on the 24th of January.
That's it. Apparently, it sold out a month in advance last year, so probably...
Get in there quick.
Well, to be quick, yes.
Through the usual NEC box office?
That's it. Or people can contact me directly or get me on Facebook, you know, Brett Huckfield, Brett with two T's, H-U-C-K Field...
I think once you put the word Huckfield in, you don't really have to look for too many other Bretts.
Yeah, there aren't too many of us, are there? We're a minority.
And you've got a full website as well?
There's bretthuckfield.com.
And you can pop along there, and the details are there. Talk to Brett, get tickets, get along, and do your bit shouting on local finalists in the UK Open Mic Competition.
Or even book for 2015. I think it's going to be a busy year.
I know. You're coming along to your event now before time sells out, but there we are. Brett, great speaking to you as ever. Thank you for joining us. Good luck with the competition, and we look forward to speaking to you, hopefully as winner, after the competition itself.
I would love to come back if we win the competition, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Well, we'll have you back whether you win or not. Okay. See you soon. Ta-ra for now. Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Ta-ra.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, rings out across the marble. The soulless cover of shopping seems no miracle at all. It's time spent with the ones we love that makes Christmas beautiful. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, while we blind to those tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, come all ye faithful. The brass band plays, but the crowd it makes gets smaller every. Stuck at work and shoppers in a world of debts and silent tears, when those who care the most for us just want us to be near. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, putting things right. It's about the love we give, not what we buy. Spare some money for the homeless, stocks, not for marketing and hype. Businessman, don't waste my time online or in my life. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, while we climb to those tidings of comfort and joy. Sing choirs of angels. We lost our way as the years roll by, now spirit fly me home. Far away from the greed and the stuff I don't need, to the people that I love, and the girl I left so long ago, I think that's long enough. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, putting things right, it's about the love we give, not what we buy.
And we're in the Christmassy mood now.
We are indeed.
Present time. Zoe, your present is there. I've left it over there out of the way for you, so I haven't got to mess around with plastic bags this week. This always sounds terrible. And Jan, you've got your present somewhere.
I have.
You can open that. Your card's on there as well. Now, I've got this one down here. Is this the food one?
I haven't given you mine yet.
Should I open this one first?
You can do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a bow on it, which doesn't make as much noise as I would have liked.
Just a little box. There's not much inside, Jason.
There are reindeer cakes in there.
Oh, that looks like there'd be cakes involved.
I'll tell you what they are.
What are they?
Right, they're mincemeat muffins, Delia's recipe.
Okay.
So they're not mince pies because they're a bit sort of boring, aren't they?
No, would you like one or do I get to take... do you want one?
Well, you can take them home if you like.
Okay.
Because there's only a few.
Yeah, so would you like one? You're allowed one if you want.
I should leave you to take...
They smell absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to take
those.
Nice.
Can I take those home?
That's lovely. Share them with the family.
I don't like having to share, to be fair.
Can I pass you yours?
Oh, okay. I'll just lean over here.
Oh my goodness. Oh, thank you.
Oh, you've got a shiny bag.
I know.
Right.
Glitz and glamour.
Yeah, I've got to do the card after. So, Zoe, what on earth?
Wow. Shall I open yours, Jason?
You can do. Hey, what you got? I can't remember what I've got
here. Chockies.
You've got to have chocolates at Christmas, haven't you?
Chockies and how lovely!
Oh, some candly things.
Tea lights.
Yes, tea lights.
In the shape of a rose.
Yeah.
Oh, something bally. Oh, the chocolates. Yes. I thought they were bouncy balls.
No, they're chocolate sprouts.
Oh yes. Do they taste like sprouts?
I don't know.
Oh, lots. Thank you very much.
I've got you some weird things.
Pin art. Oh, I've seen those. They're good. They are. Yeah, supposed to be very relaxing.
Yeah, you can de-stress with that.
Oh, pie presses. Are you indicating you want me to cook you some pies?
That'd be good, yeah. If you could bring pies in one week, that'd be fantastic.
And what's this one?
It's a book called The Air Affair. I don't think I've ever given you a copy of that. I really enjoyed that. So, and I saw a copy on special offer, so that's the reason I got it for you.
Oh, I do like my books.
Jasper Carrot?
No, Jasper Ford.
Oh, sorry.
Brilliant author.
Oh, very good. Thank
it's the Thursday Next series.
I do like a nice book.
So you'll enjoy that, I think.
Yes, I'll sure relax with Forrest. That.
JasonForrest.com. Christmas card.
That's the way to do it, isn't it? I'm going to open this present I've got off Zoe here before I continue with the rest of the stuff.
That one is a contradiction to the other one. So
okay, so this one is a Cook's Kitchen Low Fat 100 Recipe Book. Okay. So
well, we know you on your diet.
I'm not doing very well on the diet this week. I know that much. And
you're
the other
on
your
one,
diet? I've lost 4 kilos. I'm not sure.
What's that in
I'm not
pounds?
Sure where off. It's about 8 and a bit.
Oh, well, that's okay. Going to help. Very good.
And the other one is some marshmallow fluff. Yes, that is absolutely brilliant. I love that stuff.
I know. I said it was a bit contradictory, but
still. Yeah, marshmallow fluff is low fat, but stupidly high in sugar. But, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And it'll probably go very nice on top of a mincemeat muffin, so I'm pleased with that one. Thank you for that. I bought you something weird, but useful, but I'm not sure whether you'll use. It's usually the way I do things for you.
A labelling machine.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Lavender.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent.
That got confusing. It's not a lavender labelling machine, I'd like to point out at this point.
Do you know what? I do like the smell of lavender.
Is it from Shropshire lavender?
I was going to say, is it from the Shropshire?
Actually. It's from, I went to the Red House Glass Cone.
Ah, right.
I did quite a lot of shopping there, as you will discover.
Okay, I'm about to find out as I unwrap this one.
Very careful.
Is it a glass cone?
Well,
it's shiny.
It's made of glass.
It's made of glass.
What's it got in it, Jason?
It's a muffin in a glass thing.
Is it a proper muffin? Can you eat it?
It's to hang on the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I don't think I can get in there and eat that, which is probably quite a good thing because of the diet. That is lovely. That is brilliant. I'm going to have to put that away in the protective thing here.
And the others are sort of, well, you'll see, along the same theme, really.
I've got more bubble wrap. I'm going to have to look at some bubble wrap. I like bubble wrap.
It's funny, we've all gone for things to cook, haven't we?
Yeah.
Is that what that
can
says?
Can I look inside this thing?
You can if you want to. We've got a dangly icicle type thing as well. That is funny. Is there a matching pair of those?
Oh, is it glass,
no.
That?
Oh, no, it's something else. It's glass, isn't it?
Oh,
good?
You've got to be careful. Don't break it.
I'm wrapping
well,
it back up.
Well, they're not matching.
But they're a pair.
Yeah.
No two icicles are the same. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's right. Yeah.
We had one clear one, completely clear with the white stripe, and now, oh, that one's good as well. It's like matte and shiny at the top.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you very much. I'm going to have a little shiny, sparkly Christmas there, thanks to you, and some muffins as well.
You're not going to be tempted to break the one to get the muffin out.
No, as the muffin inside might not be ready. No, you'll be fine. I'm going to do. There's going to be a training course involved in how to work that, isn't there? Thank you very much.
We've all enjoyed those.
Next show is the end of year quiz.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. That looks good. I hope you bring in nibbles again, Jason.
There will be nibbles, and there will be guests. I'm not going to mention the guest list so far because it can always change, sometimes up to the afternoon of the quiz.
Anybody definite?
Yes.
Yeah, lots of people definite, but
that's
it could still change up to the afternoon of the quiz. Yeah, Jan, you might be on the team, as might Zoe. You never know.
That was last year as well, wasn't it?
The first year.
Yeah.
Oh, ages and ages ago.
Well, you were invited as a very special guest.
2002 or something.
2000, yeah. 2000, yeah. I think it was the first one we did back on BBC WM.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah, back in the day. But, this is a regular thing. I have to spend most of my Christmas writing a quiz. That will be next week's show, and then before you know it, it'll be 2015.
It's coming up fast and furious.
Coming up on our 6th anniversary and everything. But
that'll mean a cake.
There's gonna be a cake then. Yeah, you're in for a cake then.
You weren't here for the last cake, so I don't think.
No, I missed the last cake.
Yeah, you're rubbish at turning up for special events.
If I'd have known there was cake.
Squishy. Yeah. Cake,
we like cake though, however it arrives. But thank you for joining us. Have a great Christmas, and we look forward to seeing you in 2015. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye bye.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.